It's the Brouhaha Podcast with Steve Jackson and Mark Carpenter.
Now it's time for the Drive Brouhaha. Hot Monk Brouhaha. And Herlinda's here and Mark Carpenter. And we're very excited to have a woman who's been called many times a legendary brewer. Judy Ashworth is with us. Great to meet you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Thanks for coming in.
My old friend, I met her years ago at Anchor, and she, there's a lot of brewers out there that owe their success to Judy. She,
you began to tell me the story.
Yeah.
Go ahead and she give started, us your take on all this.
I'll have to have Judy tell you the exact years, but she started, took over a little bar in Sunol, California, which is a tiny little hole-in-the-wall place, and that just served the major brewers, Bud Miller Coors. And she started bringing in the microbrewers from around the Bay Area, and it became quite famous. And so all the microbrewers loved her because she was doing our beers. And then the place burned down. It was an old wooden warehouse depot, and it burned to the ground. And it made big news all over the Bay Area. And I think.
Yeah,
one of the reasons,
one of the reasons
there were a couple of news reporters from KGO that drank there.
Of course.
And so
ABC, CBS, NBC. What's so amazing, I was telling Mark earlier, people have asked me for years, what's my favorite beer? Because they always ask you that, because I came a national beer judge, and, you know, I've done a lot of judges, so people think I've drank lots of beer, which I have. I've been quite a places in Europe and drank beer. So they'd ask me, what's my favorite beer? And my answer has been, for the last 25 years, I hope it hasn't been brewed yet.
Nice.
And that's what's happening now to me. I'm going around and tasting all these incredible new young brewers that remind me so much of the same brewers back in 1983 in the early 80s and early 90s. They're brewing some amazing, amazing new styles.
And it really has been a renaissance.
Yes.
In the world of beer.
Yes.
And up here and in the Bay Area.
Absolutely.
You know, we're a major player.
All over.
Yeah.
It's so exciting to me. Even I live in San Ramon now, and literally from my house within 8 minutes, I can go to like five or six incredible places to drink craft beer.
Mark?
Yeah, she's absolutely right. It's just amazing over the years what's changed. But Judy really led the way, especially for the bars. And you can't do anything successful, you know, without getting a lot of copiers. And she did very close by. Remember the Hop Yard opened
absolutely.
Up?
Absolutely.
Just right down the street.
And they're doing a great job to this day.
They're still in business.
Huh? Yes.
And all these other breweries. But Judy was clever. Before she had all the competition, she was doing all these various events with. She had a brewer's fashion show. It was crazy. She'd get ask the brewers to come out and have
what
a formal wear contest,
or what you would wear when you weren't brewing.
Yeah. Oh, was that it? That was yeah. So Bruce Joseph and I went down to the Mission District in San Francisco and got ourselves a purple tux with pink fluffy shirts. And we went to the fashion show like that. We never did compete in the swimsuit contest.
Judy no.
Was, Judy
you had
always,
a male swimsuit contest?
Judy was always trying to get us brewers out of our clothes, you know.
What I wanted to do is I wanted the brewers, they were so intense and so hardworking and working so hard. I wanted them to come and just have fun.
Let loose a bit.
And it was a very tight-knit group.
Yes.
We all knew each other. And we all got along great at Anchor. We used to have this party that it turned out that Haas Hops bought a company that sold crawfish. And so Fritz thought we ought to have a crawfish party at our brewery. So for a number of years, we had this crawfish party at our brewery that was really just for all the Bay Area brewers, and their families would come, and the little kids would have crawfish races, and we'd do a big crawfish boil. And,
you know, the crawdads racing across the brewery floor.
Yeah, and Judy really was always doing events like that out at her place, and kind of bringing that group together, so we all knew each other. We all became a very close-knit group.
I had the first 4th of July, the Christmas in July party.
Oh, yeah.
Held over. That was in 1986, and I held over one keg of Celebration Ale from Sierra Nevada. And that was, I brought it out on July 25th. I'd always bring it out close to, you know, 6 months from Christmas. And we'd have a Christmas in July. And then that evolved into me having 10, 15, 20 kegs of Christmas ales that I would save. And I'd decorate my whole pub for a whole week before the party with all the Christmas decorations, Christmas tree, everything.
And here us brewers hated that because here these kegs cost real money. And you want to get them emptied and back to the brewery so you can fill them again. And you got all these kegs sitting out at Judy's place. And then other brewery, bars would steal that idea. So you had all these kegs out of circulation.
And I did the Stout and Chocolate Festival. That was lovely.
Oh, my God.
Our guest today on The Drive, Hop Monk Brouhaha, is legendary brewer Judy Ashworth. Honor to meet you. What a story.
Well, thank you. Just to correct you a little bit, I'm not a brewer. I'm a publican. I owned a pub. So a publican that owns a pub.
Not a Republican, but a publican.
A publican. that means that she's fully involved, or he or she's fully involved in owning the pub. I had to learn to make sure I shot pool, knew how to play darts, knew my beers. And just had such a passion for all of it.
But you've been legendary in helping so many local and brewers country.
The reason for that is the brewers, my whole pub, I mean, I had never done anything like this. When I bought my pub in 1983, I was a single mom with three kids. And I had never owned a pub or owned anything like that. So I was brand new. I didn't know anything about it.
Well, what, not to interrupt. Well, no, I am interrupting. Yeah, thanks, Joe. How did you get into the world of brewing? I mean, what made you want to go there and open pubs?
Well, I didn't want to open the pub. I just happened to be at the right place at the right time. I had quit my job. I was working. I'd worked at, like, UPS and ABM, the big house cleaning, the cleaning place. And I just didn't like the corporate world. I didn't like that kind of thing. And I was taking too much of my time away from my children. So I decided to go in business for myself. So literally when I was 37 years old, I went into business for myself, being actually a commercial janitor at first. And I never worked for anybody after that till I retired. But I did that so I could spend more time with my children. And during that time, Frank Louthan, that owned the Lions Brewery at that point, the building, decided to restore it. It was just being used as a storage place for his feed store. He had sacks of grain.
And that was Sunol.
In Sunol. And so he decided to restore it to the original Lions Brewery from 1862.
Wow.
And I had all this spare time during the day, so I started helping him restore it. I'd help him take paint off the bar and do stuff and everything. And he said, Judy, when I open, I really want you to go to work here. And I said, well, I don't know how to do any of this stuff. He said, you'll be fine. And that's how I got kind of involved in it. And then he wanted to sell it after a couple years, and he talked me into buying it. And I couldn't afford it. You know, I was a single mom with three kids and had a first and second on my home. But he really wanted to get out of it and run his feed store. So literally no money transferred hands when I bought it. And I even had to borrow my open till from him the day I took over as owner. And I paid him for a couple years, paid him rent and paid him a loan payment for the business. And then he came to me and says, Judy, I need a little inflow of cash, and I'll tell you what, I'll sell it to you for this amount. And it was like half of what I had originally bought it for. And I refinanced my house and just gave it to him, and I owned it.
Wow.
So that's how I got into it. And at that, you know, it was nothing I'd ever planned. So that's why I tell young kids in college and stuff, don't worry about where you are right now. You never know what you're going to do. I was 40 when my whole life changed.
Wow.
But then, like you say about the brewers, getting back to the brewers, is I learned how to run my pub through the brewers. So everything I did in there was what they taught me about the beer, how to serve it, what temperature to serve it at, what kind of glass they wanted to serve it in, and what temper, everything. And so it was very important to me that my beer was served perfectly.
So they really helped you, and you wound up later.
And I ended up helping them by explaining to all the people how to enjoy and love this beer.
I'm going to assume that you were a beer fan prior to that?
Well, I drank Bud, you know.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, she was a beer drinker.
And so Schlitz, I was a beer drinker, yes. I was a beer drinker.
You're saying you grew up on Schlitz, right?
Schlitz and Falstaff, Burgermeister.
Oh, yeah. I grew up in Detroit. Still okay. A big Stroh's fan. If you haven't heard about the beverage people, they're Sonoma County's fermentation headquarters, and they've been doing this since 1980. They can help you craft your next beer masterpiece and help you make wine at home and do the olive thing, cure olives, and they make cheese, show you how to do all that.
You can learn how to do anything there, from mead, like the ancient crafts like mead and cider, and home winemaking, and all the books are there. I mean, it's like the perfect place to make a holiday basket for someone if they're wanting to do any of those kinds of things.
Yeah, it really is an amazing
place. Great place for a gift certificate. If you don't know what they really want to make, what a great place to get a gift certificate. And
they can choose.
I take that in my stocking any day.
You know, olives, cheese, beer,
my son
wine.
Just did his first home brew on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And he and I went up there, and he was going to do an all-grain brew. And one of the biggest problems when you're doing an all-grain brew is grinding it. You know, if you grind it at home, you get a little like a coffee grinder or something. But they have the mills right there in the shop. You buy your grain, you mill it, put it in a bag, take it home, and mash in. And they'll help you convert any of the recipes from extract to grain. It's a great place. And
since 1980.
Was that Birch's? Birch?
Yeah, wow. Birch was his first place, yeah.
That's right.
It's the Beverage People, Sonoma County's fermentation headquarters since 1980. You can go to thebeveragepeople.com to learn a lot more. Better yet, go to their store. They're at 1845 Piner Road in Santa Rosa. The Beverage People. Okay, our guest today, a legendary publican. Not Republican. Judy Ashworth is with us. Herlinda, I'll turn the mic over to you.
Well, I've been wanting to have this lady on the show for, you know, the show's going to 6 years now next month. And just by chance, our friend Mike Condi said, hey, I'm going up with Judy Jane Ashworth to Bear Republic in Healdsburg before they close. Would you like to join us for lunch? And I was like, would I? Heck yeah. So Judy's like just legendary. When the Pink Boot Society, which is basically a group of women, anything to do, you know, with any kind of their livelihood is from beer. When we get together, we always talk about and mention and like revere Judy Jane Ashworth. And our friend Tara Nuren for Forbes magazine, she just got her, you know, her book deal about women in beer history. And her number one person she wants to talk to is Judy. So we should be seeing Tara up here soon. So were there very many women brewers that you were dealing with? Because you were talking about how the brewers taught you. Were there very many women brewers or even in sales when you were doing this? And did anybody come in and, I've had, Kim from New Belgium. She said that men would come into her brewery and point to the guy and say, you know, hey, can he tell me a good beer to get? And she was actually the owner. And did you go through any of that stuff too?
Oh, sure, because, you know, back then I'd try to get the women, teach women how to drink the beer and enjoy it. None of them wanted to drink it, the girls that were coming into my pub, because they all said they didn't like beer.
Yeah.
And the reason is because they'd be sitting with their husband or their boyfriend or something, and they might give them a little taste of a warm Budweiser. Well, yeah. Of course they're not going to like beer, you know? So I started to talk to them. I taught so many women how to drink beer, and some of the best beer to teach them was either Anchor Wheat or Guinness Stout. And I'd get them to try Guinness Stout because I said, don't you like lattes, coffee lattes? Yes, try this. I said, do not be afraid of dark beers. They're easier to drink than a hoppy lager.
That's what I say.
They're soft. They're either a little coffee flavor or chocolate.
Chocolate.
Flavor.
That gets them, too.
A lot of chocolate flavor. But going back to brewers, it was just
Terry Farndorf.
But she was the very, very first one in our
And the dark beers generally have less alcohol, right? Well, I know Guinness does.
Yes, and but it all depends. And the reason because they use a lot of dark roasted barley in it, and it's been roasted so much that they roast most of the fermentable sugars out of it. You get the black fat in barley. But nowadays, you can get a dark beer, they barrel age them, and they, believe me, they take care of them.
Yeah, especially when they put them in the bourbon barrels.
Yes.
So what kind of beers were you drinking, like, actually, like, when you started getting really, really excited about beer, like, what was the beer that went, like, your aha kind of moment?
Well, it was the pale ale that the home brewer brought in. And then, of course, my very first beer I had on draft that was craft was Sierra Nevada. Mm-hmm. And then the very next one I went after was Anchor Brewery. I had to have Anchor Steam on draft. And I started calling them to get it, and it took me 6 months. I had to wait 6 months.
Mark?
I had to wait. That's what my distributor. I had to wait 6 months to get it. And when I finally got it, they told me that that was the last account they were going to open.
Oh, jeez.
Because they couldn't make any more beer. They couldn't. There wasn't enough capacity to make any more. But I literally had to wait 6 months.
Yeah.
And then I ended up carrying every single one of their beers. In fact, I argue with a brewer, a pub owner down in L.A. that I was the first one to have Liberty Ale on draft. Yeah. Remember from Father's Office?
Yes.
You were saying that you did the Liberty Ale actually even on Nitro, and Fritz Maytag came in from Anchor, and he didn't know what he was having, but what was his reaction?
Well, his reaction was that he just thought it tasted absolutely wonderful.
And it was on Nitro. I love that.
And it was on, well, it was on a mixture of 75% Nitro, 25% CO2. Okay.
On a hand pump.
Yes. But I actually had the Liberty on the hand pump.
Yes. That's what I meant.
That's right. And he said, when I told him, he didn't realize it was Liberty Ale. And when I told him that it was Liberty, he said, you know, Judy, this is the reason I started brewing Liberty Ale at Anchor Brewery, because this is the way the beer tastes in England.
When Mike invited me to come with you guys, also, then we went to Russian River Brewery, and you were telling me about after you, your place burned, you looked down the street, like, the next day.
That day.
And Bob Brewer and Mark Carpenter were walking down the street with a case of beer on each shoulder to come and help.
I brought four cases of beer. I looked down there, and here they come walking like these angels.
Beer angels.
There was quite a few people hanging out.
Everybody was standing around in shock. We were in such shock.
And there really wasn't even much to sort through. It just completely burned down.
Yes, because...
What caused it?
Well, it was built, the feed store next to it caught on fire.
Oh, okay.
And took, you know, I had hay stacked on both sides of me, and I had no fire insurance because I couldn't afford it. I had two kids in college and a senior in high school, and it was so high because they came out to look at the building when I applied for it. The insulation in the walls was sawdust. So you can imagine how fast that burned.
Oh, man. And it was all wood, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Jeez.
Yeah, and just old and dried out. Yeah, so it went up.
Then you guys did a fundraiser, right? The Brewers and Anchor and everyone did a fundraiser?
Yeah, the Brewers all got together because it happened like on December 22nd, 1987.
Ooh. Right before
Christmas. And the Brewers all got together, the Anchor Brewery, St. Stan's, Winter. Then there were, I can't remember for sure, I'm sure somebody can check, there were either 19 or 21 breweries at the time.
In the Bay Area.
In our whole Bay Area. And they all got together and said, hey, we got to do something. We've got to get Judy back in business because she's the only one out there teaching everybody how to drink our beer. So I had 1,000 members in a connoisseur club at that time with all their addresses and everything. And they sent out invitation to all of them, and they put on a big fundraiser.
And where was the fundraiser?
Sunol Golf Course.
Oh, that was a
And so they donated the place and all the food. And all my, I did a lot of great live music at my pub. Everything from Straight Ahead Count Basie to Awesome Blues, Rock and Roll. All kinds of stuff. Anyway, all my musicians donated their time and played music, and they put on a big auction, a silent auction and a regular auction with an auctioneer and everything. And all the breweries brought all kinds of POS from all the breweries, and even one brewery donated a Grundy.
Huh.
Okay, let's geek alert with the POS and the Grundy, please.
See.
Yes.
Oh,
Because we've got people driving down the road in traffic, not having as much fun as we are having some nice English beers. But can you tell us what a Grundy is?
A Grundy is a brew kettle. Well, yep. Tell me.
Yeah, the old homebrew.
The old homebrew kettle.
Yeah.
Nice.
And it was a good size one. It was a big one.
Yeah, yeah.
It might have been Nevada City.
Huh. I don't remember that, but it was a heck of an event, and it got Judy back in business.
Yeah, it raised a lot of money.
Yep.
And this is when, so you moved to.
Then I was living in San Ramon, so we finally found a location in Dublin.
Okay.
So then it became Lions Brewery of Dublin, and it was beautiful. My brother, who's an incredible Gary Ashworth, incredible cabinet maker, finished cabinet maker, built the whole bar from scratch, like it was built in 1862. The bar that was in the original pub that came around the horn, and he did it all out of Honduras mahogany, and it was beautiful. It was 35 foot back bar, 65 foot front bar. It was amazing.
So, what do you see differently so much like back then? And now, like, what are, like, some of, like, the big differences you see? I mean, we were talking about new breweries that you really like Revision and, you know, some other ones. But, like, are you seeing any differences with drinkers? I mean, I know I'm seeing a lot more women in the bars myself, but.
I'm telling you, I go into these pubs and breweries, and I just sit there like a proud grandma or mom, you know, or really a grandma. Because all the kids that are out there drinking now that are in their 20s and 30s, I taught their parents how to drink this beer. I mean, like my grandchildren, I have a 26-year-old and 24-year-old grandchildren, two 21-year-old grandchildren. They literally, all of them, grew up never seeing a national brand beer in their refrigerators.
My kids.
So they learned, they didn't drink anything but craft beer. So that's what's happening. That's why you're seeing so many of these next generation all drinking these beers. Because their parents were drinking them.
Yeah. And why would you not once you tasted everything?
Huh. And you've been teaching people. So, like, I know, like, you were, like, you've even, like, been on, like, cruises where you did some beer education, like, going down, like, the Rhine and into, like, different countries in Europe getting beers. And, I mean, wow, how cool. Like, what an evolution.
Oh, it's been great for me, especially as a single woman all that time.
Hear, hear.
Yes. I mean, I've learned, I got to experience so many wonderful times with people and all over Europe. I mean, I've been all over Europe because of beer, all over the United States. I mean, I became a national beer judge. I've given talks at all the homebrewer conferences, and I was on the board of directors at the Great American Beer Festival. Wow. So I've done a lot of stuff that it hadn't been for beer, I'd have never done it. And it wasn't just the beer.
Both.
Yeah,
yes.
Me too.
And it wasn't just a beer, but it was everybody involved in it.
Exactly.
All the brewers.
All the countries I visited.
Yes.
Because of Fritz and the beer, it's just unbelievable. Yeah. We both had great careers.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go in and sit. I'll be traveling somewhere in the United States or over in Europe or anything, and I'll sit at the bar and just start talking about beer or talking, and all of a sudden people are like, wow. So, you know, they just think, who's this old lady sitting there drinking a beer? And then they start listening to me, and they're really astounded, I think, that I know so much about it.
We were at Russian River Brewery before this, and this guy had a full-on suit and tie next to us and a six-pack of really some nice Russian River beers. And I was like, I like that, like the full suit and tie and the beers. He goes, I was listening to you guys. They know a lot about beer. And I'm like, oh, yeah. They should, and I introduced them. That was pretty
fun. Judy, what was the last pub that you had, and how long ago was it?
Well, that was at Lions Brewery, that when I reopened in Dublin.
Okay.
I sold it in 1998 because I had a cardiac arrest. And Mike,
she points to me and Mark.
Yes. And my children felt that, Mom, you need to slow down a little bit. We want you around a long time for our children and all this kind of stuff. So they talked me into selling it. It was very, very hard for me to do. But I understood what they were saying. I was running it all by myself. When you run a big pub like that all by yourself, it's a lot of stress and a lot of work. And
is
everything.
It still
No.
Around?
I didn't sell the name.
Okay.
I kept that name, and there's been like six owners since then, and now it's completely gone. Everybody just kept going out of business. I kept telling them I'd love to be a consultant and talk to them, but, you know, none of them wanted to talk to me, and they're all out of business.
They're lost, literally.
And it was Lyons with a Y.
L-Y-O-N-S. Charles Lyons is who owned the brewery in Hayward. from 1862 to about 1923 or something.
Wow.
Do you still judge and things like that, too?
I haven't judged lately. I have judged for a long, long time, and I usually do the IPA festival at the bistro, and I judge state fair and all that. So lots of times now they'll just bring me in for the final round or best of show.
Nice.
Our guest today has been legendary publican. She's owned some major pubs in the Bay Area and worked with all sorts of brewers over the year, Judy Ashworth. Mark, wrap it up. We got about a minute.
Yeah,
and a half.
Judy's certainly known in the brewing world, and she was talking about stopping judging or just being called in from the last round because it really gets to be work. Judy and I were talking about how nice it is to be retired, and that beer judging gets to be real work. Judy at home now, she lives on her family farm, and they have a garage that she was showing me pictures of today that's a pretty good-sized garage, and it's all fitted out just like the old bar.
And it's called the Oasis.
The Oasis, and she's does a lot of parties there, live music. And so if you can get an invitation, it looks like a good place to show up.
In Dublin.
It's kind of a speakeasy.
Yeah.
I like that. And do you change the beers that are in there?
Oh, yeah, I have three drafts that change all the time. Oh,
okay. How cool is that?
Marvelous.
A retirement.
Did you get a distributor to deliver to you, or do you have to go pick
brewers,
it up?
The brewers, actually, what's interesting is the brewers want their beer on draft there.
So you got them delivering, yeah.
So they bring them to me.
Oh, that's good. So they're always local beers on tap.
Oh, absolutely.
I can't wait.
Yeah, that's fabulous.
Out.
Absolutely.
Very cool. Judy Ashworth, honor to meet you.
I'm honored to be here.
Hey,
thank you.
Can't thank you enough.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Have a great night.